Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
You know, I'm really starting to think that this Twitter thing's overrated, so why don't you just add me on my email and maybe on Facebook, and we can really connect there.
You know what, guys? Since we're on that topic, you might as well hit me up on AOL Instant Message.
AOL is no longer alive.
Well, we're still, you guys can try. We can like download a little app that's like, you know, a play on AOL Instant Messaging. Or, you know what, just add my MySpace. That's what we can end up doing
here. I loved MySpace.
I didn't use MySpace.
My profile was banging.
Well, be sure to, speaking of banging profiles, give both of our profiles a follow, as well as at Locked On Jaguars. Leave a subscription anywhere you're listening to podcasts right now. Be sure to leave us a subscription there at Locked On Jaguars. Check out the site, all that good stuff. You guys know where I'm going with this. Let's go ahead and dive right into it. Today is our official, not 53, but 54 man roster prediction, as the team will be carrying 54 players right at the cut deadline, because Fowler's suspension, Dante Fowler that is, for week one will not be put in, like, become effective until 4 p.m. on Saturday. Therefore, they've been given the clearance to bring on 54. I'm sure the Fowler suspension will go into effect just minutes after, but that'll go ahead and take us right into it. I think it's pretty simple. They'll be going two quarterbacks. Tanner Lee hasn't been able to really do anything that would assure
him Thursday hasn't happened spot. Yet
he's not getting a roster spot, man. But I've broken my list down 25 on offense, 25 on defense, 3 on special teams, with 10 on the practice squad. So I'll go ahead and run through my list and then let Chris go through his. I've got Bortles and Kessler at quarterback, Fournette, Yeldon, Grant at running back, that's 5 right there, Bohannon at fullback, that's 6 receivers, Cole, Westbrook, Moncrief, Chark, Mickens, and Green. That's brings us up to 12 players total. I did feel like they'd keep Mickens and Green because they both have had the better camp in preseason out of the 4 receivers competing for that last spot. With Lee going down, they have, you know, the room to bring on 6 receivers. That obviously doesn't include Lee. And I think they're going to want a guy that's been flashy like Mickens, and also a guy that's technically a veteran of the system in Green. So 6 receivers there, up to 12 players total. 4 tight ends in Austin Seferian, Jenkins, Niles Paul, James O'Shaughnessy, and Ben Koyak. That brings us up to 16 in total. 9 offensive linemen in Cam Robinson, Andrew Norwell, Brandon Linder, AJ Can, Jeremy Parnell is your starting 5. William Pales is the start as the priority swing tackle, as he's gotten pretty much every rep that wasn't Jeremy Parnell's at right tackle when they did try and bring in that swing type of guy throughout camp. If he was ever working with the ones, it was William Pales, as well as developmental right tackle Will Richardson. I'm sure he'll get some swing reps as well. And then on the interior depth, you got Tyler Shatley and Chris Reed. That's my 25 on offense. Chris, do you have any variants?
I do not. We actually basically matched. Josh Wills should have been shot in the sun last year or so. I'm sad that I had to even include him in my really, really, really early 53-man roster projections in March.
Well, let's assume that this is how it plays out. What would your immediate takeaways be? Is there something that you think would be missing or a little too much of something else?
For the 25 on offense?
Yes, 25 on offense.
Well, me personally, I think the team should carry 1 running back and 3 fullbacks. But, I mean, that's just my new variants of NFL offense that the future will be ready for.
What would that even be like when you're running that like personnel on the field? Like, instead of 2 running back sets, 2 fullback sets.
Yes, and then instead of a tight end, you have another fullback outside for blocking.
They call that the grit package.
But see, it'd be like this, to where you would have to make it to where you don't have too many people on and off the line of scrimmage. But you'd basically have wide receivers outside, then you'd have your standard 5 O-line, and then your quarterback would be in the back. It'd basically be like a kneel-down formation. You have your 2 fullbacks beside you, and you have 1 fullback behind you. The guy behind you is going to be your kind of running fullback, and then the 2 guys next to you are going to be blocking. And it's going to be great for pass protection, but then if it's a running play, all the running backs will follow and convoy with the full fullback, in the very back. So basically, he has like two bodyguards going. It's going to be a super effective offense.
I feel like we just got really, really, really off topic. But I would love to see you become an offensive coordinator one day.
It would be just fullbacks galore. I would make sure to draft them high, like second round fullbacks.
The only thing that I kind of questioned when I was doing this is whether or not they keep a fourth running back. And I'll touch on who it was when we get to my practice squad candidates. I've thought about replacing a tight end instead carrying a fourth running back with, obviously, all of these guys are going to get a lot of reps as the season goes on, so they might want an extra depth guy. I just don't really know if that's going to come to fruition because they seem to like all four tight ends that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, four running backs was something that I thought they might go with as these preseason games went on, because guys like Brandon Wilde started to kind of really, I won't say shine, but perform pretty well in the reps that they were given. But I still think that they'll ultimately go with the three all SEC backfield.
Yeah, that was a great note that a buddy of mine made out the other day, that they're all SEC players. And once we get to the practice squad guy, that's going to be a fourth SEC running back on this roster, which we will do after we talk defense, which is coming up on our next segment.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to my bookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, and the most rewarding player perks in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
So from what I've learned is the team will be carrying 54 players immediately on cut day because of the Fowler suspension. It's lined up to where the Fowler suspension will kick in right after roster cuts, but technically it does mean they will have to have 54 players. Sorry about that. On the active roster when cut time comes. So with that came a little bit of a shakeup to what my defensive projection was. At defensive end, I had them carrying five. Yannick Ngakoue, Calais Campbell, Taven Bryan, Dante Fowler, and Lorente McRae. I had Dewani Smoot getting cut. I had them trying to put him on the practice squad, which I think they will still do once Fowler returns. But I did think that he'd get cut because he has fallen behind on the depth chart. He hasn't progressed the way they wanted him to. Kind of a disappointment of a third-round pick. I had him go into the practice squad, but since technically Fowler will make the team and then be suspended after, I have a feeling they'll just keep Smoot and then cut him after Fowler's suspension is over and try and sneak him under the squad at that point. But with him on the roster, that means I will have 10 players currently on the practice squad that doesn't include Smoot, which I'll get to later. But so those are technically the six defensive ends I've got right now in Ngakoue, Campbell, Bryan, McRae, Fowler, and Smoot. Then moving to defensive tackle, I only kept four: Malik Jackson, Avery Jones, Marcel Darius, and Michael Bennett. The reason I kept that so thin, especially kind of at nose tackle, I guess Darius is a mix of both, but is because Campbell and Bryan can both play the three tech. They can both be interior guys that you can mix around along the entire defensive line. So there's room to keep less defensive tackles because you've got those defensive ends that can move inside and make plays. Five linebackers: Miles Jack, Telvin Smith, Leon Jacobs, Blair Brown, and Donald Payne. I don't think there's any other guy that's really earned a roster spot out of those five guys at this point. The rest of the linebacker crew is kind of meh. Six corners: Ramsey, Boye, Hayden, kind of the obvious. Tyler Patman as the immediate depth corner, Quentin Meeks and Trey Herndon both making the final roster. Two undrafted free agents filling out the cornerback depth. They both have a very impressive camp. Then at safety, got five guys: Sean Gibson, Barry Church, Ronnie Harrison, Cody Davis, and Gerard Wilson. Wilson's kind of come on late in this offseason, but he started to make some plays in the past couple preseason games. Last year, he had something, I think, in the 300s for special team snaps. It's going to be hard to replace that, even with Ronnie Harrison and Cody Davis here, because Harrison or Davis are going to have to make up for Peyton Thompson's snaps, as he had about 300 last year. He was cut this season, but they didn't bring him back. As they've shaken up the special teams, they still do need to keep some continuity, and I think Wilson does offer that. And then you got your special teams in Lambeau, Cook, and Tinker. Pretty simple, and that'll bring us right to 53. Chris, any shakeups to my list here?
Really, the only shakeup would be I agree with the cornerback room. However, I feel like somehow either Meeks or maybe even Herndon are going to somehow get traded. I don't know who, but it would probably be like a seventh round conditional trade type thing that we see during cut weeks. I don't know. That's just a feeling that I've got. Those two guys just keep jumping out at me as kind of like trade candidates, because corner is kind of a valued position in the league, and guys like Meeks and Herndon have kind of been really flashy. I've also said Patman, but I feel like they'd have to give a really good offer for Patman. They couldn't lowball for him.
That would that be like the first time ever that an undrafted free agent in their first season got traded? Like straight up
from the Jags?
Or just in general. Like, I've never heard of an undrafted free agent getting traded before he ever plays an NFL game. Like straight up trade.
We're going to need that like NFL account that always does those like off the wall stats to help confirm us. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I don't know, man. Like, their cornerback depth, I think, is pretty weak. I think they need to keep both.
We'll see what happens.
I wouldn't keep like a guy like Jalen Myrick or Sammy Seamster. I don't think they could keep either of those guys. But no other shakeups. I mean, what do you think about the whole defensive line? I know you're a Smoot guy, but he's not that great, man.
No, it's a tale of two third round picks between Yannick Ngakoue and Dewane Smoot. It's one's really, really, really good and one's a streamer.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I was going to put him on the practice squad. I think he will end up there, and someone will get cut to give him the room on the practice squad the week after Fowler's suspension, which we will talk about more of the practice squad when we come back from this break. So, practice squad time. This is where the projections get hard. For all I know, literally all of these guys could get claimed, or none of these guys can get put on the squad. This is a much more of a hard projection. But I'm going to start with Brandon Wildes, the running back I was mentioning earlier. South Carolina guy, so SEC, that continuity of all the SEC running backs on the roster. My reasoning, he's not overly like impressive. He's done a decent job. He scored against Minnesota. But the reason to it is he stands at, 6'1", 220-some pounds. He's more of the bruising type of back rather than speed guy or pass protection guy, like a guy that's just going to run into you, much like Leonard Fournette last year. And Dave Caldwell said this offseason, in an ideal world, they'd want to find a running back similar to Fournette's style of running, because they just want to be able to continue that if Fournette were to get hurt. Like, they felt like that's the perfect complement, is to have a similar style of back. And Wildes is far and away the closest thing to that on this roster right now, as Yeldon's much more of the receiving and pass protection kind of back. Not overly elusive, but just like all right as a runner. Corey Grant being the speedster, so they don't really have someone to match Fournette. So I think that would end up being a good fit. I don't think he's going to be a hot commodity on the waiver wire at all, and probably a guy you could sneak onto the practice squad. Alan Lazard. He's been fine in camp working with the third team. It's just he hasn't done enough to enter the six receiver competition as Green, Mickens and Wynn all did a pretty solid job competing for that role, so maybe he'll be able to slip onto the practice squad as well. Offensive lineman Brandon Smith, tight end DeAndre Goolsbee from the University of Florida, one of Chris's favorites. I think he's got a chance to make it. He scored a couple red zone touchdowns throughout the training camp process. Defensive end Carroll Phillips, he had four games on the team last year as a special teamer. He had like 60 special team snaps, so he technically is still eligible for the practice squad. I think that they'll put him on. I've got Eli Ankou, who has only one accrued season in the NFL, which means he is still practice squad eligible for at least another year. I have him being put on. Doug Marrone has always said availability is your best ability, and he hasn't really been available. But they've still kept him along, like brought him along and kept him here while he's been hurt throughout the preseason, so I think that there will be a spot for him. Linebacker Nick DeLuca, who they just signed last week. He's a guy that I knew they had interest in before the draft. Obviously, they didn't end up bringing him in, but who was it that claimed him? I think the Titans or someone like that, but they did meet with him at the East-West Shrine Bowl a couple of times. Safety CJ Revis, who was hurt this past week against the Atlanta Falcons, but he's had a decent offseason program as well. Defensive lineman Lyndon Johnson and cornerback Jalen Myrick. He only has one accrued season in the NFL, obviously last year being his rookie year, so he is still eligible. Chris, do you have any? I don't know if you really care enough to make a practice squad list like I do, but if you have any guys you think deserve to make it or maybe didn't deserve to make it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The practice squad is kind of I'll give you all I got for special teams, but practice squad's where I draw the line.
Fair. Well, does it make you happy that I think Goolsbee will make this practice squad?
Goolsbee and DeLuca, those two guys. Just grit. I mean, have you seen Nick DeLuca's scouting report? One of the things that scout said, and I quote, is "can play through pain." That is grit.
Well, maybe they'll keep him around since they did bring him along. Obviously, linebacker depth is a question, so they brought him in late. Hopefully, he's picked things up and can find a role on this team or at least the practice squad. I think this will just about take us to our phone line questions that we received several of. Some people dropping some takes on the roster prediction, some hot takes. Chris, go ahead and roll some of those out.
All right. So we have a repeat question from Boog from Arizona. So he'll kick us off, and we'll see what he has to say when I get it loaded up. All right, let's do it.
Hey, guys, this is Boog in Arizona. Obviously, with roster cuts coming, gotta wonder what the Jaguars are gonna do. Are we gonna keep, an extra wide receiver, an extra running back? I still want to see Leonard be healthy for a whole season. I think keeping an extra running back would be wise. It's gonna be interesting to see who they keep on the practice squad. See if Quentin Meeks is someone that could stick on there. Wouldn't surprise me if another team picked him up. He's had a good training camp and a great preseason. I think he could be contributing somewhere, so I think the Jaguars have a lot of decisions to make, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do, especially at the wide receiver position. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for all you do. Go Jaguars.
We appreciate Book's call, and he makes a good point about Fournette not being healthy all last year, so that is where I considered keeping Wilds on the active roster. It just seemed like, with the injury to Lee at the receiver position, I do think they need to carry that extra sixth guy there. And then when you look around the roster, it's just who would you cut in favor of a dude that doesn't even have a full season of NFL experience under his belt that won't actually have, any contribution to the team unless someone gets hurt. And I don't think Wilds is going to be a commodity at all on the waiver wire, so keeping him on the practice squad is solid enough to fill that void. He's a guy that matches Fournette's style, and if they need him, they can just call him up at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said I think if you were to keep Wilds on the active roster, where would you make that cut? Maybe stash Herndon to the practice squad? I don't know.
Or you may have to cut someone like Ben Koyak or one of the final two receivers in Mickens or Green.
Yeah, that's fair. So that's probably where they'd have to make room if they keep four. I think they will keep three, though, because we've seen Hackett start to get creative with these two running back sets. So you might have Yeldon and Grant out there for more snaps combined when Fournette's not on the field, which could help alleviate some pressure off Fournette.
I definitely agree with that. Let's go ahead and roll the next one.
All right, so this one is from Javal from UCF in Orlando. So this is what Javal has to say.
Hello, pals. What's up? This is Javal, everyone's favorite UCF student. For a surprise cut, maybe Smoot. I mean, hasn't really showed that much. Maybe like Hunter Phillips. I'm kind of on the fence about whether to keep him or not. I wouldn't be totally against it. As for a surprise keep, if I had to guess a surprise keep, maybe they just probably just stick with Rashad Green after the Lee injury. I mean, I think having Mickens and Green is kind of redundant, but I mean, Lazard hasn't proven that much, so I guess keeping Green and Mickens is probably what's going to happen. Oh, and by the way, Zachary, I love you.
Hey, Javal, I love you too, buddy. I think he makes a great point with Mickens and Green that really is a redundant roster move because they kind of both possess the same thing. I think Mickens actually has more potential with his speed, and he seems to be more of a surefire punt returner, but they pretty much are the same type of receiver out of the slot. I don't think Green has improved enough to be a guy that you can throw inside and out, but they possess a very similar skill set, which does make them a bit redundant for if a guy like Lazard had come along at the rate that they wanted him to, you'd keep Lazard and one of Mickens and Green.
Yeah, I mean, preferably, or my preference would be keeping Mickens over Green because I think Mickens is a better kick returner. Plus, I just really like Mickens, so.
I'm the same way. I'm definitely the same way. And then with his Smoot surprise cut, I guess you could say two great minds think alike.
Jesus.
I'm sorry, guys. I had to take advantage of that. Let's go ahead and roll the next voicemail before I embarrass myself anymore.
All right, so this last one isn't really a question, but some statements and thoughts from Joshua Dixie from Palm Coast, 386. So let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey, guys, love the show. This is Joshua Dixie from Palm Coast. Just wanted to throw out a couple ideas or thoughts on what I think is going to happen should the Jaguars make the playoffs. I think if the Jaguars make the playoffs this year, it's almost a guarantee that Jalen Ramsey will be on the cover of Madden 20. I mean, number 20, Madden 20, I think it just goes without saying, especially with all of his talk this past summer. I also think if the Jaguars don't make the playoffs, I think we cut Blake Bortles, and we'll be on Hard Knocks for probably one of the most entertaining Hard Knocks ever. So those are two things that I think could go right or go wrong this year. Go Jags. Love the show.
We appreciate that, Joshua. And I actually think that you make a really great point. And it makes me think that this team is boom or bust. I don't think there's room for, you know, I'm going to sound like Jeff Fisher, like the 7-9, 8-8 type of record. I think it's either playoffs or something went wrong. The team is too talented to kind of hover at that middle part, and it's coached up too well to be hanging right in the middle. It's either a team that's going to go into the playoffs. Even if they don't win out, they're going to still be a dominant, like, hard test. It's not going to be an easy playoff game for whoever plays them. Or, like you said, Bortles is gone at that point, because if they're not winning, it's most likely because his level of play hasn't come along and maybe even regressed from the year before. And if that's what they really need to worry about, they've shown even last year there were moments where he'd stall and suddenly the team would stall. Like there's a couple of games that I'm blanking on because I don't even want to look back to the season. I'm still kind of heartbroken, but I think that is a great point. That would make the best Hard Knocks ever. I'm not saying I'm pulling for the Jags to lose. I never would, but if they didn't do that well this year and went on Hard Knocks, I guess I could forgive them.
You mean to tell me that if we get Hard Knocks, we get unfiltered Jalen Ramsey? Sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a great point, because otherwise they always got to blur all his stuff out when he picked up stuff.
Yeah, so, I guess that'd be a little, that'd be a small light in a tunnel of darkness if that happens, but I don't want to think about that. I'll sacrifice untapped or unfiltered Jalen Ramsey for Super Bowls, so.
Oh, 100%.
Because then 100%. We can just get unfiltered Jalen Ramsey on like Snapchat stories and stuff. So yeah. we'll be compromised there.
Well, I figure that'll pretty much do it. Do we have any other voicemails left?
Well, we do have some love from the line. If we want to hear some of that, it's from our buddy Ryan from New Hampshire. Just a heads up, he's a Patriots fan, so I can't condone.
Oh God, we can't do this.
We got to do it. Sorry.
We're gonna be heartbreakers out here.
He's bringing love.
Hi, Zach and Chris from Locked On Jaguars. It's Ryan from New Hampshire. I just wanted to say that I love you both, and Miles Jack was, in fact, down.
Cut it off.
I look forward to seeing you guys soon. Love you both. Love the show. Okay, bye.
Our show's so good that Patriots fans even love it. I mean, that's how much Jags fans should love it.
I'm obligated to tell Ryan that I love him back, but... But that hurts. Love you, Ryan. That'll pretty much do it for us today. Like Chris said, we got fans from New Hampshire here, so we need more fans from Jacksonville. So be sure to leave a subscription and check out the site. Leave a rating and review. Let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Continue to listen. We'll keep putting out all the great content. Be sure to follow along at Locked On Jaguars, at Misto Christopho, at Zach_Goodall, and we will catch up with you guys tomorrow.
Also note, if you missed the last episode, there's a chance to win a free Jaguars jersey, so go check it out. The wide receiver pod specifically.
Go check that stuff out, guys.